life, but the work of the Lord goes on. The Bible says that the Lord wishes none to perish. None. No matter who you are, where you come from, what you look like, the Lord wants the work of the church of the true and living God to move on. There's a great message to be told to the world. Now, I know that some of you have come through a year and last year and what have you, and it's been hard. And some of you might have even said why, and we would all be in that boat some way, somehow. But I'm telling you, Satan will use everything that he possibly can to tear us down, to bring us down, to make us depressed, that we lose sight of what is important. And what is important? You tell me, what is important this morning? That's a rhetorical question, but I want you to know it's the lifting up of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because what does that do? I can tell you what it did for me. It was the means whereby I was introduced to Jesus Christ and I was saved by his marvelous and wonderful grace. And that very day, all I wanted to do 40-some-odd years ago was to tell somebody, I got saved by God's grace. I didn't understand it. I just knew that I was changed individual, that the Lord had changed me, and only the Lord could have changed me. I was broken. A broken 18-year-old boy, my friend, a sinner that I didn't realize or understand, looking to the world for all the answers, and there was none out there, and there is still no answers in the world. It's in Jesus Christ. So I guess my main motivation, and had time to think about it, was, Lord, just give me something to lift them up. Give me something, Lord, to teach, to tell the church that they'll go out there ready to fight the good fight, brothers. To carry on the work that many men have stood up here and preached about. Many a person has gone on to be with the Lord that left it possible that we would even be here. The Hebrew writer in the book of Faith says, the world was not worthy of those that had been slain asunder and torn apart and martyred, that we could come to the house of the Lord today. And we take it for granted from time to time, don't we? We all do. Every one of you should have said amen, but we all do. We have preacher, deacon, lay member, prayers, singers. We have from time to time, because I know this world is a hard place. It brings hard things sometimes. It's not always a bed of roses, is it not? I want to try. I wasn't going to sing after her, but I'm going to try to sing an old song that's been kind of an anthem for me of late, because I needed to be reminded, you know, that no matter where I am in life, that the work of the Lord and the work of the church of the true and living God, and friends, that's important in this world. The world would belittle the church of the true and living God, but it's the means whereby, my friend, the only means whereby that was ever granted the authority from Christ himself to go into the world and preach and teach the gospel and make disciples. It wasn't to individuals, it was to the church of the true and living God. And who makes that up? Saved individuals that have united with the church of the true and living God. So if you've been saved by his grace and you've not united with the church of the true and living God, you need to be about the Father's business. That's the first thing that needs to happen in your life. Tell someone that you've been saved by the grace of God. Unite with the church that God leads you in, and to get your light on the candlestick to go out here and fight the good fight. And no matter what happens, health problems, financial problems, physical problems, family problems, children problems, daughter-in-law problems. I'm going down my list. It probably sounds familiar to a lot of you, doesn't it? But let me try to, this song will kind of sum up where I want to go today. It's an old one. It's in the books, but let me try to sing it. I'm going to start with the chorus. Come morning, I'll walk by the river. I'll rest neath the ever green tree. I'll carry my cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. God's children too long have been burdened. They are longing for heaven's green shore, where heartaches are left far behind them, and burdens are carried no more. Come morning, we'll walk by the river, we'll rest neath the evergreen tree, we'll carry our cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for us. Sometimes we're despised and rejected, and we question, oh Father, how long? Then we take one more glimpse at Mount Calvary. And it gives us the strength to go on. Come morning, we'll walk by the river. We'll rest neath the evergreen shore. We'll carry our cross through the midnight. Come morning, there's glory for me. The verse in that song says we take one more glimpse at Mount Calvary. And that's my message today, friends. You look at Calvary and say, I can do this. Because he went all the way. And who did that? Who did that? Jesus. Who's Jesus? He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is God. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's the Word. My friend, he's everything to us. And it will honestly, truly get you through another day. I don't know about tomorrow. I'm just trying to get through today. And I can only do that when I look to Jesus and I remember what he's done for me. What did he do? A broken individual, a broken sinner, my friend. He took and he gave me life, and he gave it to me abundantly, just like he's done every single one of you that are sitting in this pews that have been born again by the grace of God. And what did he say? What's he want of us? I don't think he's asking much at all. He says, go ye therefore into all the world, preach and teach the gospel of the Son of God. Make disciples. Teach them. Teach them. Teach them. Is that much to ask for what he's given you? Come morning. I long for the day when the Lord will come back. I long for the day, my friend, when I will leave this world and go to him, because in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, if I leave before this world is done and leave me, friend, one day this world will end. The misery and the sinfulness of this world will be wiped away forever, and the perfect harmony of God's heaven will be here for us. And then what? I get to really worship him in spirit and in truth. I get to really worship him really, truly for the very first time with no sin in my life. I'm an eternal soul then, and I will be with God because that's what he's promised. No matter what comes my way in this life, no matter what we have to suffer, no matter what we have to give up, friends, it's worth it to carry on for Jesus. He came all the way from glory. He left his robe, his regal robe, and his crown of righteousness. He laid her down to come to the world for you. I noticed some of you didn't raise your hand when the preacher or when the song leader asked about being in heaven, knowing that you're going to go, knowing that you're okay, That motivates me this morning when I see those things, brethren, because I know they're out there. I've got family members that are lost. I've got loved ones that are lost. I've got grandchildren that are lost. And at the age of accountability, my little granddaughter, Jonathan's son, up in Louisville, was on the altar last Sunday night again. She's 10 or 11. I don't know that's grandma's department, but I want you to know, friends, we've got a reason to look at Calvary and to push on, because I know every single one of you in this room have someone. Don't you have someone that if I called on you right now, you could give me a name, if not many names. In the 62nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, I want to read some scripture this morning. I want to help you by the grace of God. I want to motivate us as the children of God to do more for the Lord, to step up our game, as they say sometimes. And that's not requiring a lot. If you just did a little more of what you did the day before, friends, just think of the result of what that might accomplish. Just a little bit. Read a little bit more. Pray a little bit more. Talk to the Lord a little bit more. Witness just a little bit more each and every day. What could it accomplish, my friend? It would be lifting up the Son of God. And the truth is what the world needs today. The truth is what, my friend, this world needs in such a terrible, terrible, terrible way. Because they have no hope without Jesus Christ. And those of you may be listening on Facebook, I don't apologize, because Jesus, according to the Bible, is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. In heaven a long, long time ago, and I'll read this here in a minute, 62nd chapter, a few verses, there was a meeting that took place, a council. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they made this plan. God's Son stepped up and said, I'll go. I'll be the sacrifice. I'll be the one that keeps those law. I'll keep that law. I'll be the one that will pay the price for those that you've created, oh Father. I'll be the one to die in their place. I'll be the one to give them an escape. I'll be their judge. I'll step in for them. I will be their advocate, is what I'm trying to say, my friend. He sits even right now at the right hand of God. Doing what? Making intercessions for you and me. Think about what I just said. I want that to sink in. The Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, the Prince of Peace, God's Son, said, I'm going to go and I'm going to die for them. That's us. Why would he do that? It goes beyond a love that I can't even preach about and completely understand. It's far away above my calling to understand how much that God loves me. I just know that he does. I know that he saved me. I know that he's promised me a home in glory. I don't know what it's going to look like, but you know what? I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to be, the Bible says, with Jesus, my Savior. And I'll get to truly worship him. Let me read this to you. 62nd chapter. The prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the king's glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Give me a minute. Thou shalt nevermore be named forsaken. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall the son marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set a watchman upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yea, that they make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. And give him no rest till he establish, until he maketh Jerusalem a praise in the earth. This organization that we, I think, take so much for granted, the Church of the True and Living God. As I said before, it is the only organization in the world that has the authority to go into the world and to teach the gospel of the Son of God. Through it and by it, the gospel is in the world. The Bible teaches me that Jesus Christ came himself not only to die for the lost, but my friend, he set up this thing called the Church of the True and Living God. He set up this bride, my friend, that she might sparkle in this world, that she might be the avenue whereby the lost could hear the gospel of the Son of God, whereby they could know and understand what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of misunderstanding in the world today about the plan of salvation. This is one thing I know, and it's pretty black and white. Jesus himself said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Now, I told you a little bit about, I could preach for hours about who Jesus is. But he is the only begotten Son of God. He came from heaven. He died on the cross of Calvary. He suffered such mocking and cruel beatings, my friend. He suffered the crown of thorns that was thrust upon his side, his head. He was speared through his side where the water and the blood flowed, my friend. And still there in agony, and know that he felt that very much. He was all human and he was all God at the same time. He was always God and will be God, and my Savior and my friend. It is him that came to this world. And I don't want to get into semantics where you think the church was started, but I know this, Jesus started it. Okay? Let's just agree on that. Jesus started the church. He put it in the church, and then he told it to go into the world and preach and to teach. Lift him up. That's what he wants. Our walk should be, my friend, that of Jesus. We should not hold our peace as the Church of the True and Living God. We shouldn't let Satan beat us down. Take a look at Calvary again. Look at that, my friend. Read about it again. Look what he did for you. And then tomorrow morning, if God be willing, and you wake up with health in your body, go tell somebody. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Go tell somebody about the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. The greatest weapon and tool that you have against Satan is the testimony that God gave you. And it may be, God saved me. You may not really know the time, but I know that you know it takes place if you've ever gotten saved. I happen to know the time. It was a Sunday morning, a week before Easter. And the preacher was standing and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was lifting up God. He was lifting up the one that came and died for me. And he made it very clear through the aid of the Holy Spirit that this Christ said I needed to be saved. Jesus said that. Did you see anything? If you go over there and read that where in the third chapter of John, I think it is, my friends, where he talked to that preacher of the day, you might say, he had no understanding. He was raised a Jewish child from the age of five at learned men's feet, and he knew nothing about being born again. He asked us, should I enter the second time into my mother's womb? He didn't understand. Jesus was talking about his soul. So I don't, if you're here and you're lost today, I don't know what you wait on. I have no idea. Jesus, the supreme authority, the one that made it possible, the one that put the church, the bride of Jesus Christ in the world, commissioned it to go out here and fight this good fight. No matter what was going on around us, whether it be COVID, whether it be anything else, my friends, we have been finding ways to keep the gospel going out, have we not? And if you have not, then you have failed and you need to get on your knees and say, God, forgive me and let me know what my work is. Instead of moping and feeling sorry for ourselves. My father-in-law was the man who preached the gospel to me. He was never in good health, bad heart, several heart attacks and surgeries. But he still thought it was important for him to stand and tell about Jesus. No matter what it might have done to his body, I have no idea, but God kept him strong right up to the end. Why? Why do we just clam up? Why do we go into our little selves and our corners and our little closets, friend? We are the light of the world. We're the one the world needs to see. Whether they reject you, it does not matter. Whether they shun you, it does not matter. Whether they despise you, it does not matter. It does not lessen what we need to do as the children of God. Doesn't lessen it one bit. If anything else, friends, we're living in a day and time where we need to be more adamant about it. I just heard here today several that had passed away. People are dying every day. You've got health. You're here. Some degree. And how many of us can tell a story about someone on their deathbed? I can. And even in that very moment, as life was leaving them and they were getting ready to pass on, to go on to be with God in glory. They were giving God honor and glory. No matter, my friend, where you're at and what situation, you cannot stop. Mm-mm. This is a lifelong commitment, and your life began the day the Lord saved your soul. I'm not talking about your natural birth. Yes, you had to come. You had to be born in this world. But you had to have that spiritual birth. And if you haven't had that, then you need to be looking to Jesus Christ. He's the only answer. He's the only answer you'll find given in this church, the best of my knowledge. From the pastors that have stood in this pulpit, my friend, in times past, they've stood. And what have they told you? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. It's whereby there is no other name whereby men can be saved, Scripture says, than that of Jesus Christ. And who's to proclaim that? The Church of the True and Living God. You, Fairview Memorial. My friend, you're just not a pretty building out here. The church is sitting in the pews. You're the ones that got legs. You're the one that's got arms. You're the one that's got eyes. You're the one that's got a heart that beats and a testimony in your heart. And you say, well, your job may never be standing up here. Job may never to be a singer, song leader, musician. Do you know who the backbone, in my personal opinion, is? Y'all that stay in your pews and you pray and you pray. And the amen, final amen is given and you go home and you pray and you pray and you pray. Because, friend, it was by prayer that got my attention. There was a little girl that sat on the stoop, my friend, and she told me about being saved as a 9-year-old girl. It was a powerful testimony to me. I knew I did not have it, my friend. And she didn't back up. She didn't stop. Even though I was who I was, broken and a sinner, she told me about Jesus. The world needs more fighters, my friend. We need more that will testify and be a witness in this world. We're living in, and someone mentioned that I said in my prayer that I don't know why the Lord hasn't come back. I know why. The Bible says he's long-suffering. And he wishes none to perish. And that means you, if you're here and you're unsaved today. We're going to have a song at the end. And I'm going to give an invitation for you to seek the Lord. And you don't have to wait for that invitation, by the way. You can just go to Jesus at any time. You don't need me. You don't need this pew. You don't need this church. You need Jesus. You need the Son of God, for he's the one that can change your life. He's the one that can put your foot on a foundation that will never fail. A solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Put your life and hope and trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The psalmist said he loved the Lord so much because he heard his voice and he heard his supplications. He brought him out of that miry pit and set his feet on dry ground, and he was ready to go. A little farther on down in the 116th Psalm, it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Now, I want you to leave that thought with you, and I want you to think about it. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? You say you got none, I'd say you're not saved. I have so many. So many. But what I'm most thankful for is the day I can go back to and know that God saved my soul. It's the most important thing in my life. I love my wife more than life itself. I love my four sons. I love my 12 grandchildren that I have. I love them all with my heart and my soul, but I love Jesus more. He gave them all to me. They belong to him. And I want us, my friend, to be pointing and be the examples of church members to our families that we press on no matter what, even if they quit, even if they go off somewhere, my friend. Do your due diligence and do the best you can and stand up for Jesus, because they're going to do it, some of them. I got two sons now that aren't going to the church. You know what that does to me? I don't even like to. That's the first time I think I've ever brought it up in public. It breaks my heart. But they know better. They know about Jesus Christ. They've been saved by God's grace. And I know, my friend, what we taught them as children, they will hear over and over in their heart because this old man prays for them. And their mother prays for them. And their other brothers pray for them. And the church is going to pray for them. Fairview Memorial is going to pray for them. You remember them. Remember my mom. I've stood up here many times, have I not? In times past, I said, pray for her. Well, guess what? She's still lost. But I have not lost hope. My hope's in Jesus. My hope is in the Son of God. My hope is in the church of the true and living God, that she will be found when the world is on fire. And I believe she will, because that's what God promised. Jesus said, husbands, love your wives like I love the church. Yeah, he loved the church. I know how much I love my wife. I can't even imagine how much God loves us. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? That's where I'm going to leave it there. Let's have a song, brother. Song of invitation. If you're here and you're lost today and not born again, not saved, don't have an experience, however you want to classify it or put words around it, I don't care. I'm just telling you today, and I'm pointing you to Calvary. I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ. That's all I can do. I can lift up the Son of God. As Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, so must we, my friends, so must we do that today. We must lift up the Son of God that the world can look to him and see him. He will shine in the darkest of nights, the gloomiest of days. Take one more look at Calvary today before you leave. one more look, and you can walk out of here a little bit brighter. Maybe your circumstances haven't changed, but you'll be thinking about what you need to be thinking about, Jesus. If you're here today and you're lost, I beg you to pray. Now's the time. Today's the day. Now's the moment.